the Redskins. Hail victory. Praise on the warpath. Fight for home, D.C.
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35, Baltimore to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
Welcome to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. My guest today is one of the premier linebackers in Redskins history, a four-time Pro Bowler for the Redskins in the 1990s after six superb seasons with the Cardinals. He's been a preliminary nominee for the Hall of Fame and is one of the 80 greatest Redskins. Number 57, Ken Harvey. Hey, Ken. Thanks for coming
on
the show.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Ken has been a guest on my television show, Burgundy and Gold Magazine, and he is also prominently featured in the Redskins Encyclopedia, and deservedly so. So thanks again. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Not a problem.
So, Ken, I understand you're a sideline reporter now for Redskins exhibition games for NBC4 and Comcast Sportsnet. And as we speak, the Redskins have played one preseason game thus far this season, the 23-6 win over the Patriots on Thursday, August 7th. You worked with Kenny Albert, who did the play-by-play. Joe Theismann, another Redskins great, did the color analysis. And you were on the sidelines. Tell me about that experience. What was it like?
Well, you know, it's exciting, but it's also kind of nerve-wracking. You get a chance to talk to the players. You look at it totally from a different side because you're trying to think of, you know, what are the intelligent questions you want to ask players that you didn't think, you know, you don't want to sound like the way you felt sometimes about the reporters when they asked you questions. So you try to ask questions that they would enjoy answering, and hopefully you sounded intelligent to the public. And so it's a good chance to, you know, to get out there, to see the players and be a part of it and to feel like you're part of the team again.
Who did you interview in the Patriots game?
We had Ryan Kerrigan was one. You know, he did a great job. He's a pretty nice guy, big kid, and you know, just really asked good questions. I don't necessarily know ahead of time who I'm going to get.
I should say that I didn't have a chance to see the telecast because I was at the game, but I was in the press box at the time. So no Robert Griffin III or anyone like that?
No, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to get Robert Griffin. I mean, the truth of the matter is he's a hot commodity. Everybody's trying to get to him, and he's limited in what he's going to do.
What do you see on the sidelines that one necessarily wouldn't be able to see on television or when watching the game from the stands?
Well, I'll tell you what I was looking for. I wanted to see, you know, on the sidelines throughout the whole game, you wanted to see the players who weren't playing cheering for the players who were playing, because that shows if there's a team, if there's team chemistry, or if everybody's just kind of in it for themselves. I did see guys cheering for the guys that were out there. I wanted to see players, positional players, helping other players and saying, okay, you know, this is what you need to do wrong. This is how you can get better, because that shows team unity. The great teams are the ones who help out each other. So first, You know, the first train's only going to be as good as the person that backs them up. So when you help each other out, it just makes the whole team better, and that's something that you saw. You also want to see, and you probably see it on TV sometimes, but you want to see guys, you know, running to the ball the whole time. You want to see how many guys come back to the sideline with their hands on their hips and, you know, look like they're sucking air, and they look like they're still in shape and ready to play, and they look like guys were in shape and ready to play. So all those were some good signs.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Now, you've seen the Redskins at training camp in Richmond, in addition to, of course, seeing them play in that exhibition game. What are your observations thus far, your general opinion of the team? They're coming off a 3-13 season. So just your quick initial observations.
Well, I'd say the smart thing is that they got a chance to practice against the Patriots, which was which is good. You want to, you know, admittedly, you want to say the Patriots is one of the better teams. So you have to step up your game, even in practice, to compete with them, which then makes you that much of a better player. And the game you wanted to see on offense, at least the things that I wanted to see, you wanted to see if RG3 was going to take off running and try to be a running back, or if he's going to stay in the pocket and pass. That's some of the things they've been working on. That's what he did. You wanted to see on the right tackle spot, that's kind of a weak spot or potential weak spot, and you wanted to see if they could do well there, because if not, then RG3 would have to run just by sheer pressure from the defensive players. And they seem to do pretty good there. You want to see on defense, not so much, you know, the defense can pretty much stop the run. They can do well, but you want to see if they can get some pressure on the quarterback. And for me personally, I wanted to see if the linebackers were trying different moves. This, you know, this is the opportunity to try all the different moves that that you may or may not try during the season. So you saw Brian Arakpo go inside and get a sack. That's something that he didn't do all of last year. And once, you know, once someone has you on film and they kind of know what you're going to do, they'll just ride you past the quarterback. So you saw that. And then one of the key things is you want to see the whole defense, everybody hustling to the ball, you know, and I think you saw some of that also. So all in all, I think it was a good performance for the first game.
Yeah, actually, we all know the Redskins are hoping for a lot out of Brian Arakpo, and this could be a make or break year for him. So that sack was a very good sign in the Patriots game, but the Redskins and the fans want to see a lot more of that in really clutch situations. Let me ask you about Jake Gruden. What do you think of him thus far?
Well, you know what? From what I've seen, from what I've heard, the players like him. They think, you know, he's a player's coach, but he also has a level of respect. If you look at his history, he's come the hard way to get to be a head coach. So he understands the value of hard work. And I would much rather have a guy who has to fight to get to where he's trying to go to than somebody who just kind of gets there and he's gifted but doesn't understand about the fight. He understands that you have to fight. He understands that it's about discipline. It's about doing things right. It's about keeping at it and keeping the vision. You don't have to be as fancy. So I think as a head coach, he has the talent. He understands the talent. He's working with the talent to try to make the talent to be good. And you want to have your players to support you. As a coach, either fear the coach or you respect the coach. And if you respect the coach and love the coach, you'll work just as hard as the coach that you'll fear. But if it's kind of in between, you know, fear in itself, if it's fear with no respect, then after a while people will start revolting against it. If it's love but there's no fear, then they'll, you know, people will take advantage of it. I think he has kind of the right mixture of both of them. And so the players are responding to that.
Now, your first season in D.C. 1994 was also North Turner's first season coaching the Redskins. And like Gruden, he was a big name offensive coordinator. He being with the Cowboys and Troy Aikman's mentor in Dallas. So what are the differences, similarities that you see between Gruden and North Turner?
Well, the big difference is with Norv, everybody is expecting it to be, you know, just pass the baton and bring the team right back to the Super Bowl. With Gruden, it's more like, hey, you know, come on, give us something, please, anything, so that we hopefully can start winning. I don't think the pressure is as great to be a mega winner. It's the pressure is just to be a good team, because you know, the record last year, if you win more than three games, you've done better than last year. I think you know, both of them are young, both of them are offensive minded guys, but I think Gruden has a better defensive coaching staff unit that can put some stuff together, and I think cohesively they have a lot of talent on this team. It's full of the team in the past. A lot of these teams have been full of potential, but it's more of a mindset, and it's more of not having so much pressure to think that you're so great before you're great. I think that, you know, the difference is that this team now has to realize that they're not a great team, and you have to work to become a great team. And that's why I think it was great that they went and practiced against the Patriots, because they got to see what a great team really looks like. And regardless of how much the fans cheer you on, and regardless how much you do everything else, you still got to go out there and win a game and prove it. And so that's kind of a big difference there.
Linebacker Keenan Robinson, I want to get your opinion on him in particular because he's got a lot of pressure on him right now. He's filling London Fletcher's shoes. And what have you seen in him? Is he the guy that can step in for Fletcher, the Redskins' Iron Man, and really carry the mantle among those linebackers in that core there?
Well, so, you know, if you look at it, first you got to look at it and say, okay, he's not carrying the mantle by himself. You know, linebackers like to believe they're a core, you know, a special group, the elite of the elite, at least in my mind. That's the way linebackers like to think. And so it's not one person is everything. The pressure is going to be how well the team works. If he has to go in, and even though he's a play caller, but if he has to correct the D-line and if he has to keep changing and yelling out stuff, then it's going to be a tough year for him. It would have been tough for London Fletcher, but London knew how to do it, and there was a certain amount of respect. I think what he has to do, and I think he's doing a good job, is call the plays. It seems like the defense knows what they're doing. And so, and I asked him that question, and I said, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think the defense is at? And I think he said that they were about an 8, that they knew the plays and they knew what they were supposed to do. So that's going to take a little bit of pressure off of him. He's a good athlete. His biggest thing is that he tore both his pecs on the right and the left side. So you want to see how well he goes in and be able to take off, get rid of the offensive linemen as they come out and get rid of them and go. He's a good athlete. He has the ability, the speed, and all the techniques. So now it's just a matter of if he can play injury free and establish himself as a leader on the defense, so the guys will follow him.
Have you been impressed thus far with Jim Haslett? Because word is that Mike Shanahan was possibly micromanaging a little too much with Haslett. Or have you gotten that sense since the departure of Shanahan? And do you think Haslett is opening up the defense a lot more, maybe letting them run wild?
It's not so much run wild. It's using the ability of the players that you have. You know, it's not... You can be managed to say, we're going to do everything according to the way, this is the way football is supposed to be. Outside linebackers need to stay outside and keep contained. Inside guys need to do this. The corners have to do certain ways. But that takes away sometimes from great athletes, because great athletes make great plays. They don't always go by the rules. They go by instinct sometimes. Sometimes they may see something that no one else sees, and they can do something that because of their physical ability or because of their knowledge of the game or whatever, they're willing to take their chance. And the coaches can see that, and they're willing to take their chance with the players. I think this year, even the simple thing with a rackle coming inside, it's a simple thing, but that simple thing can make the difference. To tell you how it works out, now when people are going to watch film, they're going to say, oh, I guess he's not just going outside all the time. Now we got to be worried about him going inside. So now you got your offensive line who's going to hesitate a little bit. And when he hesitates from going inside to outside, now he can get beat outside. That little thing can make a world of difference. So I think I think he's opening it up, but he's opening it up allowing the players with their natural athletic ability to be players. And if you can do that, then you have a team and it becomes a fun game.
Excellent points. We have to go to break now. When we come back, I want to talk about your career and how you excelled here in the nation's capital. Now, here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. On September 1st, 1991, the Redskins opened the season with a 45-0 rout of the Lions at RFK Stadium. Everything clicked. Quarterback Mark Rippon completed 15 throws for 183 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cornerback Darrell Green intercepted 2 passes for a defense that held the Lions to 154 yards. And rookie Brian Mitchell returned a punt 69 yards for a score. The 45-point margin could have been larger, but backup QB Jeff Rutledge took a knee 4 times near Detroit's goal line as the clock ran out. It was the Redskins' first of 3 shutouts early in the 1991 season when they romped to a 14-2 mark and an eventual win in Super Bowl XXVI. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at RedskinsHistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richmond, here with one of the greatest linebackers in Redskins history, a man who's been a preliminary nominee for the Hall of Fame, Ken Harvey. Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Great to have you on the show. So your football career, you're from the state of Texas. You played your college ball at the University of California. Then you played 11 years in the NFL, your first six with the Arizona Cardinals and your last five with the Redskins. At 6'2", 237, you were one of the most feared outside linebackers of your era. But a lot of people don't know this story, that you were once thinking of quitting football. I'm wondering if you can share that with us.
Well, okay, so one, 6'2", and I was 230.
And I was 7 pounds off.
Depending on where you got it from, you know, once thinking about quitting football, in high school, I had actually dropped out of school, and I wasn't playing football. And so, you know, I kind of thought, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. And as a dropout, you're kind of looking at your life and you kind of reflect and you start thinking about, what am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, do something? And so in my anger, on my knees praying and just saying, God, you know, give me a purpose, give me a destiny, give me a reason to do something. And I felt like God was saying, you know, you have a purpose for your life. You have a destiny. You need to just start walking in it. So from that, I was like, okay, well, I want to go to college. And the only way for me that I thought would be to go to college would be, you know, one, to go back to school and then to get a scholarship and to help pay for my school. And so it wasn't necessarily so much about football. It was more about trying to get into college. And fortunately enough, I was a good athlete and had a lot of good people around me and some good breaks. And you know, I guess God was watching after me. And so I ended up playing and making it to the pros. But, you know, if you think about the story, going from a dropout to one of the top schools in the country, pretty amazing. And then to be drafted in the first round was even more amazing as coming from a dropout.
Right. You were the 12th overall pick in the 1988 draft, which is quite impressive. And then after playing six seasons for the Cardinals, first of all, you were a tremendous producer in sacks with the Cardinals. You led them in that category from 1989 to 1993, and then you signed as an unrestricted free agent with the Redskins in the 94 offseason, in the just around the dawning of the new era of free agency. And in your first four seasons in Washington, you led the Redskins in sacks, averaging 10. And those four seasons were all Pro Bowl years for you. In fact, from 94 through 97, you were the first Redskin to make the Pro Bowl four straight years since two original Hogs, Joe Jacoby and Russ Grimm, did it from 83 to 86. You once told me that Monty Coleman was a mentor for you, the speedy Redskins outside linebacker, another member of the 80 greatest Redskins. I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that. In particular, I think you said that he helped you a lot in learning pass coverage. 1994 was Monty Coleman's last season in the NFL, the last of his 16 years, which, of course, was your first year as a Redskin.
Well, there were two people. So Monty Coleman and Tim Johnson. Monty Coleman was kind of, if you had an image of what a linebacker is supposed to be like, Monty Coleman was that image. He had that big raspy voice. He was big and strong. We worked out together, and he took the game serious. And it wasn't just, okay, well, you're going to be a pass rusher. You also need to learn how to cover. And so, you know, he told me as a player, even sometimes when it wasn't just verbal, it was just watching him and the way he worked and the way he performed. But he also had that commanding leader voice. You know, if he said jump, you know, everybody jumped, and you respected him enough that you would jump. And so it just really helped me on that sense. And then Tim Johnson, who was a defensive lineman, who, you know, when after I would come back off of the field trying to pass rush, he would be on the sideline, or if he was in the game with me, he would be like, look, I'm going to take two guys. All you need to do is get to the quarterback. Or he would, you know, see something that I was doing and say, you need to dip a little bit more, and I'm watching you. And so, you know, when you have that type of unity with a team, you can't help but do well in yourself. And that's why, you know, I talk about the players now and how teamwork is important, because sometimes in the game of football, you only think about what you have to do. But the great teams and the great team members also look at and try to help each other out to become better.
And in 94, you had 13 and a half sacks, which broke Monty Coleman's Redskins record for single season sacks by a linebacker. He had 10 and a half. So did he, do you remember having any conversations with him about that season, or did he encourage you to keep going and achieving?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, the cool thing is he's my biggest cheerleader. And in the sense that, you know, it was you want people to break your record. You know, I'm that way with Ryan Kerrigan or Brian Arakpo. You know, you want them to break their record because you see talent out there, and you hopefully you can push and records are meant to be broken, and you want to see guys going out there and doing it. So Monty was one of those guys who was like, "Come on, man, you can do this, man." And it's not necessarily. It wasn't so much about the number and let's break your record or whatever. It's about, come on, man, I want you to be the best that you can be. And that was kind of the biggest thing, is, you know, the sack totals and all that stuff. At the end of the day, you say, great. But what you want is that when it came to game time and we needed a big play and you got Monty Coleman looking at you saying, come on, Kenny, you can do this. We need you. We need you, baby. And patting you on the back, you go out there and you give all you got for the team. And that's the way it should be.
Now, are you still heavily involved with the Redskins Alumni Association? I know you were once the president of the association.
Yeah, I mean, I do some stuff with them. I'm not heavily involved with them, but I still do some things. Like, you know, I go to events and do some of the things with the alumni. Mark Mosley is the president now, and he does a great job as the president of the alumni, and the alumni is the general. The mission is for charity, and they do a great job. We all try to contribute what we can in this community, and the community's you know, it's a great community, and so we do as much as we can to raise money for charities.
And you and I, of course, see each other at alumni events on occasion, so I'm sure we'll cross paths pretty soon.
Without a doubt.
Well, great. Love the conversation, Ken. Want to thank you very much, and I hope to do it again, and many thanks to all for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, and kudos to my producer, Mike Engel, for his stellar work. I'm Mike Richmond. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. For now, hail to the Redskins.